Hey, friends. Welcome in this morning. Hope you guys are a fantastic day, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Got a lot of stuff to cover today. Got some health articles, and you guys voted, and it won. The one and only, needs no introduction, the D3 10,000 K2 is product of the week. I have not updated the price yet. I will update it later on this afternoon. The NSLCIS team is still on sale. You guys know, usually about Wednesday afternoon, I'll change it up for you guys, give everybody one last second if they want to jump on the NAC sale or the product of the week sale. But the D3 will be going up for product of the week as you voted, and it won, along with a host of other kits that we're putting together on Team Health Masters. You guys have been able to see that we've been updating here on the protocol kits and special product discounts, including the GHI Cleanse 3-Pack Special. That's back on the site, too, if you guys have seen that. For all of you that like to stay stocked up on probably one of the best detox formulas I've ever found on the market. If I could make it better, I would. It actually works. The ingredients are all there in clinically relevant form in the quality that they're supposed to be in. Be very cautious. I've told you guys this so many times. With a lot of products on the market, you see these things they have called proprietary blends. And what they'll do is they'll put a whole list of these ingredients. And a lot of the ingredients are good stuff. They'll put the names on there. They won't break down the actual pure ingredient, which one they're using, what form they're using, what purity ratio they're using. But they'll put them on there. And they'll have about 10 or 15 of them in a proprietary blend that's, say, 1,200 milligrams. The problem is, per any regulation standards, there's no requirement to actually put what dosage of each ingredient in that group because it's a 1,200 milligram proprietary blend. So some of those ingredients may be 1 and 2 milligrams, just enough to show up on an assay test. And most of the other stuff in there is just filler. For example, here on ours, you can see when we have doses like N-acetylcysteine, we have basically the green tea, we've got the turmeric extract, we've got the quercetin, we got all these different ingredients that are detoxifying. I break them down in the full form that they're in, including the exact milligram dosage. And if you guys ever decide you want to assay test them, feel free. I'm 100% confident on these. But this is why our product works. This is why 90% of the other products on the market with the proprietary blends and these crazy formulas that don't have anything in them and nobody can figure out why they don't feel them, there's a reason why. It's because they're a sham. So thank you for supporting Health Master.
Years ago, I had a national TV evangelist contact me.
Yep.
And he was working with a TV talk show network out of Texas.
Yep.
And they wanted me to help promote supplements into Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, we're going to be, you know, we've talked about this before, but this ties together with this. And I remember I told my TV evangelist friend, I said, I don't have a problem helping the people in Africa to get supplements.
Yeah.
We got to make sure they're good supplements. So I need you to send me a sample of the product that you want to promote.
Yep.
And they did. And we had it analyzed. We had it fully assayed. I mean,
we took it to the lab that we used for this stuff because there were these little packets. You open them up, put them in water.
And about half the stuff in the packet wasn't even in the packet. It didn't exist. And the other stuff was labeled in picograms, which is like billionth of a gram or whatever it is. I don't know what that is. Don't quote me on that. And it was some tiny amount.
It's not even relevant.
No, and the ones that were picograms, they weren't in there either. Couldn't even detect them. And I call my TV evangelist back, and I told him to tell his buddy at the TV network, and it's a big network. I said to him, I'm not going to promote this. This product's awful. I said, now we can get a product made that'll work. And I have no problem promoting that product. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to promote the one that was like, you know, not going to work. And so I just backed out of that whole thing, and that whole thing came to nothing anyhow. But the whole point was a lot of people say a lot of stuff on labels is simply not true.
A picogram is a unit of mass equal to 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram.
I thought it was a billionth, a trillionth.
Trillionth of a gram.
That's ridiculous.
You want to talk about clinically irrelevant? I think it was B12. They're like, we found the B12. It has 6 picograms in it.
Well, the problem is you can't even test it.
Well, no. Remember, the only reason they were able to pull that stuff up is because they had those assay machines that were unbelievably detailed. I mean, they went down to everything.
Well, I don't even think the assay machines honestly could pick up a trillionth regardless. And that, so it was basically showed
it was irrelevant.
And the main ingredient in the product?
Silica.
Sand.
Sand. that was the primary ingredient. Boy, we found there's a lot of silica in here.
95% sand.
So you basically are trying to scam people out of money to donate vitamins to Africa to give these kids sand in a packet. I'm like, you guys have anything better to do?
How do you sleep at night?
No, I mean, you're already dealing with kids that are trying to eat.
Oh, My favorite cruise line, Carnival.
Oh, I know that's your favorite.
I will never do a Carnival cruise or a Holland America cruise or any of their subsidiary cruise ships.
I love Holland America.
When you have projectile vomiting in the hallway.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that Family Guy show. You know, people were just walking.
They were
taking Ipecac.
Who could
vomit the first? And I remember Savannah was there. She's my 22-year-old, and she's like 11 years old then. And I remember she was having projectile vomiting in the hallways, along with about half the ship. And they had food all over the tables. Nothing was getting picked up. Absolutely filthy mess. But fear not, Carnival's back in the news. Dozens land on a do not sail list after a major fight at a Carnival cruise ship dock.
Kind of fist fight?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Hit him again. At least 24 people reportedly put on a do not sail list after a massive brawl broke out. This has got to be Carnival. You know, among Carnival cruise ship passengers while they disembarked in Galveston, Texas on Saturday. Well, they're getting off the ship. They probably had enough of that nauseating ship. It went down this morning, Facebook user Trell Ray wrote in his caption of a post, sharing video footage showcasing scores of Carnival Jubilee cruise ship passengers fighting at the dock in Galveston, probably fighting to get off this wretched boat. In a video, multiple passengers were seen pushing their way past barriers to gauge in the fight. Let's fight today. The confrontation reportedly transpired after a week-long cruise in the Caribbean, yet it had enough of the projectile vomiting. And at one point in the video, several people can be seen hovering over a man who had been forced to the ground and punching him. Security guards rushed to the scene to break up the brawl, but appeared unable to immediately quell the altercation, according to the video footage. The fight resulted in at least two people being basically placed on a do-not-sail list. I didn't even know there was such a thing. And banned from the cruise line for life. We will not tolerate such behavior, and 24 people in place on our do-not-sail list. Spokesperson added, the incident occurred in the debarkation area under the authority of the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Noted the matter was turned over to law enforcement.
No sailing for you.
Police told the New York Post that at least one person was arrested as a result of the incident, and charges that individual may be having yet have been revealed. The reason for why so many people came to blows as they disembarked the cruise ship remains a mystery. Well, they were probably sick of the ship, and they wanted to get off. See, what they do, they make you wait like a bunch of animals to get off. And a lot of people get really aggravated because they're hungover. I mean, these are party ships. Yeah. Now, if you want to go out and get drunk out of your mind, yeah, okay, whatever, Carnival. But, you know, projectile vomiting in the hallways. I mean, can you imagine that? This is terrible. You walk out of the hallway in the morning, right? And also, four people are walking in front of you, and they all turn around and start projectile vomiting everywhere.
Dude, stop.
On the way to
it's
breakfast.
Wednesday.
Come on the way to breakfast. I was there. I was on
I'd
it.
I'd probably get a fight, too.
Oh, my God.
Get me off this boat.
Let's take the other exit. This is horrible. I mean, I remember they were like every 50 feet giving us hand sanitizer, right? And it's all alcohol. And I'm just walking around. I'm not going to do that. I wash my hands. And the biggest thing, I guess, with COVID, we learned that most people don't wash their hands after they use the bathroom.
No. Do you remember one of the first big things of COVID is when that ship, those people got, caught COVID, and they made them stay on that. How long were they on that boat? Oh, 2 weeks? Three weeks?
Yeah.
4 weeks?
They were like running out of food.
Yeah. They were to shuttle food out to them. And the thing was, the worst part, everybody was confined to their rooms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you guys, what did you have, like an inside room with no window?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that'd be like jail cell worse. You're not even getting to go outside or get sunlight or anything. Solitary confinement.
What I always do when I go on a cruise ship, but I haven't been on one since that ship. That was it. In fact,
always try to get a balcony.
You know, Sharon told me after that trip, she goes, that's it. I'm done with sailing on ships. And yeah. I said, don't be like that. You know, we've got to be, no, I'm done. And she went, ask Austin. She wasn't kidding.
I've gone on a couple cruises. Didn't last year.
Yeah, but
years.
You didn't have that one.
I didn't have that one. Most of mine, I keep them like 3 or 4 nights max.
Yeah.
That way, if stuff escalates, you're not stuck on it like a prisoner.
That was the ship that the captain threatened to throw me off the ship, threw a bunch of other people off the ship. I mean, it was the ship cruise from hell. It was awful.
I'll give this recommendation. If you're going to go on a cruise, find the time, the boat, the location where you can get the sails on getting a balcony. So you can get fresh air. I would never, because there's a lot of them. They have different specials at different times. I would never go on a cruise and get an inside room just to.
No, we have. Or make sure the balcony that you get will open up, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, yeah. Make sure you can be able to get fresh air.
And that's what we did on that ship. We opened the doors at night because, you know, there's no lights outside. It's dark.
No, so you get a lot of air. Fresh air, clean air.
And you get a lot of clean air. And that way, because otherwise the air recirculates and everybody has sick air in their cabins.
Have you ever noticed, too, that there's usually not any amount of chemtrails over the ocean? You ever notice that?
Well, of course there's not, because it doesn't affect people that way.
No, speaking of this is very interesting. They're coming to clean with it now. They're finally starting to admit it. They said a new geoengineering technique, which, by the way, I say new, quoting them, it's not new. This has been around for a while. Technique could cool the planet using existing aircrafts. Oh, you guys are going to love this. They're finally coming clean on this, though.
But they're not saying they're doing it yet.
No. They said the research. We're looking at a technique to deploy aerosol injection through already active aircrafts using Boeing 777s. Oh, yeah. Now, they're finally starting to come clean on this now. They said the solar engineering comes with serious risk. Much more research is needed to understand its impacts. Really? Like, you guys haven't been doing it for 20 years? So what they're doing is, this is part of that lesser magic. We're telling you what we're doing without telling you what we're doing. So now you know what we're doing, and you're not doing anything about it. That's what it is.
No, this is the vampire comes to the front door.
Yeah.
He got his fangs dripping with blood. And he knocks on the door, and he goes, "May I come in?" And you go, "You're a vampire." The answer is no. And he goes, "But you don't understand. I really want to come in." The answer is still no. And how about you take some garlic cloves, and here's a cross, and I'm going to throw some holy water on you. And how about you get out of here in the blood of Jesus? I've had enough of you. So he leaves. They got to tell you what they're going to do. It's called lesser or white magic. They always want to let you know what they're going to do before they do it, because that way, if you agree to it, they feel the karma on the other side of the veil isn't bad. If you don't agree to it, it's going to be a problem for them.
The Boeing 777 researchers ran simulations on the UK Earth System Model 1 computer model of the climate to estimate the impact of stratospheric aerosol injection by adding sulfur dioxide and other compounds, which go on to form tiny reflective particles at different altitudes, latitudes, and seasons. They were able to quantify the effectiveness of different deployment strategies.
You know, years ago, it was Christmas time.
Tell me what you do.
And I had taken a water sample a few months earlier. And
yep.
I went down to the lake and used a beaker and collected it and put it in the refrigerator. And then about 6 months later, I did it again. I sent both these water samples to a lab, and I had it tested. I wanted to get it checked for barium and aluminum. And both of them were so high in barium and aluminum, they weren't safe to drink according to EPA standards. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Where did all this barium and aluminum come from? Barium is an unbelievably toxin to the doggone immune system, and aluminum causes Alzheimer's disease. Look at this. Here it is, right here. That's it right here. Broward Health Masters Health Services, Broward Associates, right here.
Okay, so here you guys go. The first sample we took, the results, 232. What was it? UGLs. 232 UGLs of aluminum in the rainwater. Pure rainwater. I mean, we tested this.
Put this on screen for Rich.
Yeah. EPA, look at this number right here. EPA, maximum amount of EPA in any water supply. Any water supply is 200.8 UGLs. 200.8.
And we're at 232.
We're at 232 in the rainwater, this distilled rainwater that's coming out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any type of massive, massive manufacturing facilities or anything like that around us at all. The next water tested was 211. Again, EPA amount. Barium below it here, 103. There's not even a method amount allowed in EPA as far as barium. It shouldn't even be in the water supply.
These are the tests that I personally ran, by the way. This is not something that we got from somebody else. I did this. We used this laboratory. Well, here it is. Attention, Ted Brewer, general testing.
Yep.
Done.
That's why I wanted to put this up there so you guys see this. This wasn't some type of, we're thinking it might have a little.
And this is posted on our website.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the facts right here of pure rainwater right out of the sky after being chemtrailed.
That was done over 13 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. This is before we started the podcast.
We might just do it again. We probably do it again.
You can't. It's very difficult to find people now that'll test for
this. I know. This was out in California.
Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that off the air.
Yeah.
By the way, yesterday I talked about Houthi missiles threatening to sink the USS Carrier Truman, and I said, whatever. Right? Now everybody else is kind of going, whatever, too. The Asia Times came out with an article. This is pretty good. It says, the U.S. lost an F-18 Super Hornet when the aircraft under the tow in the hangar deck of the USS Harry Truman fell into the sea, along with a tractor that towed it. Okay? The aircraft and the tractor were lost at sea. A critical question is whether this was simply an accident or the cause of an aircraft and tractor loss was due to attack launched by Houthi rebels in the Yemen. CNN reported the plane fell off when the carrier made an unexpected hard turn because it was evading a threat, either a Houthi cruise missile or an armed drone. Remember this. Remember, these guys are all controlled by the Rothschild banking cartels, AP Wire, right? They have been more than 170 attacks. Now, here's what it goes on to say. It goes on to say the lost aircraft was assigned to a strike veteran squadron. And it said CNN is the first news outlet that carried the story based on a word from an unnamed administration official who said the F-15 and the tow tractor were lost when the carrier made a hard turn. The news organization the carrier made an unexpected hard turn was evading a threat. Okay. The Houthis claimed they targeted the Truman with both missiles and drones. You know, how do you know that? And the Houthi Air Force and Naval. Now, Houthi has an Air Force now. Houthi rebels have an Air Force.
Where did they get the Air Force?
No, they don't have an Air Force.
That's my point.
And the Houthi Air Force and Naval Force, and they have Naval Force. These are rafts out at sea, rafts. Right? Little 20-foot rafts.
On it.
Yeah, yeah. Carried out a joint operation using cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones.
Cruise missiles?
Okay, so the Houthis now have cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones.
Man, Ukraine's been a profitable war, hasn't it? Gosh.
CENTCOM, which manages the anti-Houthi operation in the Red Sea, has not disputed the Houthi claim, but nor have they approved it. And it says, here's the interesting. Here's what I said yesterday. The U.S. aircraft carriers do not operate on their own. They are supported at sea by a carrier strike group. I remember I was the first person yesterday, me and also the first people to talk about this and saying, yeah, whatever, we don't believe the official story. And it says, the Truman is backed up by a carrier group, and in the Red Sea, this included three Arleigh Burke-class destroyers and one Ticonderoga-class cruiser in the USS Gettysburg. I mean, they're fully deployed. I mean, this is a full group of ships. The destroyers, the Gettysburg role is to protect the carrier from missiles. I talked about this yesterday. That's why I'm laughing about this right now. And aircraft and drones. And all have well-regarded Aegis. We talked about that yesterday, Austin. Air defense system and other anti-missile and drone capabilities. The deployment featured around two-thirds of the destroyer squadron 2-8. The Aegis destroyers and cruise ships have their advanced radar, so they ought to be able to detect incoming threats and small drones. If the story of this hard turn is true, now their question, just like I did yesterday, then it appears the incoming threat was not detected and it was quite close to the Truman, and Truman made an evasive maneuver to try to avoid the threat. One explanation could be that the incoming threat was a cruise missile. Cruise missiles now. The Houthis have cruise missiles. Or anti-ship missiles flying at low altitude, hard to see for radar because of radar clutter. The Persian Gulf and Red Seas are impacted by radar ducting, where atmosphere layers trapping guide radar waves. Ducting can create radar holes or skip zones, making an air missile or aircraft undetectable. There's no information that any of the Aegis-equipped ships responded to the alleged Houthi attack. In other words, this is all a bunch of BS. Bull slime, by the way, BS. Or even if there was such an attack. CENTCOM has neither confirmed or denied the Houthi alleged attack, nor has the command supported the CNN report that the Truman made a hard evasive turn, causing the loss of an F-18. The other issue of note, if the Houthis were able to target the Truman, that means they needed a means to locate it. There you go, Austin. Here we go. Most of all, Houthis' coastal radars have been destroyed by U.S. bombing raid. Where'd the Houthis get their coastal radar systems?
Ukraine.
These guys are so unique. It is unlikely the Truman could have been tracked directly by the Houthis. It is known that Iran maintains radar ships that support the Houthis, and they could have been used to spot it. Now we're pushing the narrative towards Iran.
There
Alternatively, overhead satellite tracking by Russia or China cannot be ruled out. Now we're pushing the Russia-China narrative. Iran uses dedicated spy ships that are pushing Iran again and uses commercial ships for spying activities. It would not be difficult for commercial ships operating the Red Sea to spot a large carrier task force and relay the information coordinates to Houthi operators. Unbelievable. It says the Houthis have a wide range of Iran-supplied anti-ship missiles. No, they're not. Ukraine anti-ship missiles. Cruise missiles and drones. If the reports are true, again, this is pushing the narrative against Iran. If the reports are true, the threat to the Truman was a low-flying object. It could have been a cruise missile. Unbelievable. This whole story is just
The whole thing stinks, bro. And the thing that I've tried to explain to everybody, Iran has all kinds of weapons. They do. I'm not questioning that, and I know they're interesting country. I'm not going to get into that topic right now because everybody knows Iran's got some serious issues. However, you can't start funneling hundreds of billions of ballistic missiles and surface air missiles out of a country and not expect them to go to conflict areas. And it's exactly what we saw. And this is what, again, my friend who's a retired military contractor and retired ranger told me specifically what was happening. Odessa was the main primary exit point of these weapon systems. They've been hitting Ukraine. They go to Odessa. They go through Istanbul. They come through the sea, and they come down here to Africa, either between Alexandria and Egypt or the one and only, you guys remember this one, Benghazi. Why do you think all the weapons are going to Benghazi? It was a main shuttle point for all weapon trafficking to go into Africa.
Watch 24 hours.
13 hours.
13 hours, yeah.
Yeah. And then you come right down here, and you got Yemen. You got Yemen down here on the corner. You got Africa right beside it. It's not real difficult to send weapons from Ukraine down to Yemen, and that's exactly what's been happening, allegedly, to my retired military contractor that told me specifically that's what was happening. He knew it for a fact. We can't find 70% of the weapons you sent us. 70% of the weapons? Just hundreds of billions of dollars? Whoops.
Well, you got to traffic them. They've got to go all over the world to cause regional conflicts so we can have more disrupted everything in the United States and the world so they can have, out of chaos will come their new world order.
Yep. So, again, that's why that story yesterday didn't make any sense at all.
There's a support group that has all kinds of radar systems on it. If a missile is that close to a support group and to a aircraft carrier.
Everybody's radar lock, bro.
No, everybody needs to get fired.
That's true. Yes.
All the captains, all the guys in command, all the people watching the radars, everybody needs to go get retrained and fired, period.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that can happen. They're going to pick this stuff up 100 miles away.
Interestingly enough, switching gears on this, Trump got called out in a press conference. You see this about the Epstein files the other day?
I missed it.
Oh, no, he got called out in the middle of it. So he's doing a press conference. One of the reporters comes in and brings up Virginia Giuff.
Well, what's happened, he's allowed alternative news people to come in now and be asking questions.
They said one of the first and most prominent survivors of Epstein's abuse case to speak out suddenly dies of suicide. And they asked him, they said, when are the Epstein files getting released, President Trump? You told us they were. Pam Bondi said they were. It's been a month and a half since they're redacted. And he said, basically, I don't know exactly what's going on with that, which, and quite frankly, he's got 50,000 things in front of him right now. This is probably not his primary topic.
Remember, he and Epstein were best friends.
Right. But I don't say best friends.
No, they were best friends back in the 70s
allegedly.
And 80s.
But I mean,
there's a lot of pictures of them together hanging out in bars,
but
picking up women.
They always had parties. I mean, you had the doggone, you know, that Mar-a-Lago down there. They're always throwing parties.
Mar-a-Lago was being used by Epstein in many cases to pick up girls that were working there being sent to his island.
Allegedly.
No, that's a fact. That was
all
part of the court
document. That's why it was the Epstein files.
Yeah.
That may be the reason why they're not getting released.
But then Trump disassociated himself from Epstein because he realized what was going on.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff that happened down there.
And so they bring up here and they said, essentially, what's going on with this? Why haven't released him? He said he's going to refer this back to Pam Bondi and figure out the attorney general and figure out what's going on with this. But it's interesting now. We got alt media guys in press conferences asking him about this. They got national coverage and good reason. And now everybody's starting to talk about it again. Because, you know, the one thing about this alt media is happening now is when you start getting the truth out there and you start having all these social media platforms, everybody starts forwarding it. It's hard to shut it all down. It's hard.
Well, you know,
they tried during COVID.
We got the Ted Nelson Brewer show, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, saying all kinds of stuff. And funny, we talked about the Houthi rebels in that ship yesterday. That makes mainstream news the next day.
Everybody's bringing it up.
Well, because we've got a big footprint. We made a big splash yesterday.
You see, my opinion, this is just my opinion, with the Epstein files, I think everybody's kind of got the same, you know, concept on this. A lot of the CIA and the deep state who've used Epstein with Mossad and all to get the blackmail, if this actually gets released and they put these names out there, not only is this stuff going to get a lot of exposure, they're not going to have the leverage that they have anymore.
Well, we talked about that the other day. Remember we watched that one John Wick movie when he went into that vault in the cathedral.
Same thing.
He burned it all. Yeah, burned it all.
Yep.
And once this stuff gets out, the leverage they have against these judges and everybody else.
Because now it's mainstream. Now everybody knows. Now it's like, all right. Well,
all the judges are disgraced. All of them leave office. Now they can't control what happens in verdicts and court cases. That's right.
Now, this topic we brought up yesterday, the Supreme Court is poised to rule narrowly in police wronghouse raid case. It looks like possibly right now they're going to be ruling in favor of the victims.
I hope they do.
I do, too. And they say, here's the crazy part about this. This is what brought up the lawsuit. And now this has gone from 2017 to something. Listen to this. They said the debate originally started because the family wanted to be compensated because of the physical damage done to the house.
Now, I told you, they broke all the doors.
But no.
Yeah.
That's all they wanted.
Yeah.
They just wanted the FBI to pay for the door and the windows.
They refused.
The FBI said, you're not getting a penny. We're covered under legal immunity. We don't do crap. Doesn't matter if it's wrong house or not.
He's paraphrasing this.
Not paraphrasing very much. I can guarantee you they're about
it's similar to that.
I guarantee you they're just as rude, though, if not ruder. Not our problem. Doesn't matter. figure it out on your own.
We destroyed your house, but oh well.
They said, dude, we got like $10,000 in physical damage to the house. Please just pay for our house. Well, we don't have the money. We can't fix this.
You broke in or by accident.
Insurance isn't going to cover it. We got a $10,000 deductible.
Not even including all the damage done to our hearing from flashbangs.
Yeah. No. You guys get nothing, peasants. And they said, okay. Okay. Hold my beer, metaphorically.
Hold my beer.
No, you know, so, okay, you want to play. Now we're filing lawsuits against you guys. And now this thing's gone to the doggone Supreme Court. Now the FBI is in the spotlight of the Supreme Court. You know what they should have done? Sorry for the damage of your house. Here's $20,000 to make up for everything. Sign a non-disclosure. Be done. That's what they should have done. Now they're in the Supreme Court.
No, they should have done that. They should have done that. They should have said, how much is your mortage? You owe $300,000 for the house?
No, I'm saying from the FBI.
The FBI should have just said, yeah. Let's go ahead, we're going to just pay the mortgage off.
Yeah.
We really are sorry.
Non-disclosure, mortgage paid for. Now you guys are covered. Can't complain anymore. You got to pay for a house.
We pay for the house.
Yeah. So
the house is yours now, free and clear. And we're going to fix the damages.
Yeah.
So now the guy go, oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
You know what? We love the FBI.
speaking of how the FBI messed up your holidays, how the fun police came for your holiday.
The fun police.
Yeah, this is good. Oppressive rules are being imposed at some of the world's biggest tourism spots. Whatever happened to letting your hair down? Aren't holidays supposed to be about having fun? Actually, they're about, you know, getting the NAC and detoxifying your liver because you had too much fun. Aren't holidays supposed to be about having fun? If that question seems too obvious for a serious travel article, you're clearly missing the barrage of spirit-crushing rules emanating from the world's most successful tourism spots in recent years as destinations across the world turn their backs on the good time crowd. Just look at the islands, the Balearic Islands, which have spent much of the past few years looking for incentive ways to clamp down on boozy travelers, including restriction of so-called party boats and banning alcohol sales between certain hours. Last year, the Spanish government even began a new initiative to gather data on the worst nationalities for drunkenness and said, listen to this, and said school report-style missives to the respective embassies. Following the law when you're abroad is one thing, but can you imagine traveling back in time to the heyday of Club 1830 holidays, the kind immortalized in Sky's famous Ibiza Uncovered, and telling the punters that within a few decades their favorite party spots will be declaring war on late-night alcohol sales? The age of Puritanism. Ibiza may be an extreme example, but it's far from the only destination that's pivoted towards Puritanism in recent years. Open a holiday brochure at random, and there's a good chance you'll stumble across a country that's put in place some kind of restriction to clamp down a good old-fashioned fun. Now, what's funny about this is the coastal city of Dubrovnik in Croatia, which I've been there, by the way, really beautiful old city, has installed noise meters in its old town in order to clamp down on restaurants and cafes hosting high-spirited tourists.
Noise meters?
Yeah, this is a real pretty little restaurant.
Gay.
Paris has been shuttering some of its chronic outdoor terraces in order to ensure that local NIMBYs can enjoy some peace and quiet. Meanwhile, in San Diego, they're looking to ban picnics and parties in its enviable beaches. Elsewhere, Bali has banned swearing, while Bangkok has been waging an almost decade war against food vendors. Who could forget Amsterdam's famous stay-away marketing drive when it targeted the chastising of British tourism of all others? And so what is exactly going on? Could it be a muscle memory from the pandemic when bureaucrats and busybodies relished a chance to micromanage every aspect of your behavior?
Ooh.
I like that. When you look at some of the restrictions championed in the Balearics, for example, the restrictions are overnight alcohol sales. It's not hard to spot similarities with curfew-style rules pushing during COVID. There's even a new rule of six. Remember that? In the Balearics, albeit of a different kind, when patrons on all-exclusive hotels are limited to half a dozen alcoholic beers a day. Perhaps it's also related to over-tourism, the new buzzword that sees scores of locals in the Canary Islands and Amsterdam take to the streets to vent their frustration to those selfish enough to want to spend their money in the local economy. Now, here's the thing. You know, a lot of these guys are trying to keep out riffraff. I got that. Now, you think, well, what in the world's riffraff? Well, they're the ones that go in and start breaking stuff and start fighting and start breaking chairs and all the kind of stuff. And I got that. And it says, while destinations like Prague and Amsterdam and Dublin have been declined in popularity, others like Budapest and Lisbon have taken their place. You know, we also have worked with a lot of local guides who can make sure your customers are going to get neighborhoods where they are welcome. So what they're saying to you basically is there are certain places in the world where people are sick of tourists.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with the drunks anymore. And you think to yourself, well, they should like me. I'm coming and I'm spending money. I could get drunk here if I won't. No, you can't. You really can't. This is not your country. And so when you go to another place and you basically make a fool out of yourself and you start breaking things and doing things and getting in fights and getting arrested, it really irritates the locals.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm just going to say this. If you're going out and you're on vacation, you want to have a couple drinks and you want to relax, enjoy yourself. Nobody, and I can tell you this, everybody will agree with me on this, nobody likes dealing with belligerent drunks.
I got to tell you a story.
Nobody does.
I got a story.
Especially in your city.
I've got a story.
Well, you get involved with a belligerent drunk again?
Oh, no, I did.
You get a fight?
No, I did get a fight.
You knock him out?
No, I didn't knock him out.
Don't lie.
I don't do that anymore.
Don't lie.
I don't do it. I promise. I don't do that anymore. And it was so funny. I was on a deck up at Amelia Island. I'm not going to tell you the name of the hotel because I don't want to do that. And the deck had like a little wall between us and the next person over. It was on the ground level.
Okay.
Okay. And it had a little fireplace outside. It was really kind of cool. And all of a sudden, they decided to have a karaoke party next to me, 20 feet away. And they were drunk as skunks.
What time was it?
It was like, 5 in the afternoon, 6 in the afternoon.
That's early to be that belligerent.
Oh, I mean, and they were having a party. And I'm sitting there listening to this unbelievably horrible. They were playing rap music. You know how much I love rap music.
Karaoke rap music?
Oh, yeah.
You had to hear both lines of it?
It was great, man. The F word being
used. F-D-F-D-F.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And finally, after about 10 minutes, I thought, I about had enough of this. And so I walk over next door. I just walk around a little wall. We're on the ground level. And I said, hey, guys. They're all drunk. Have a party. You want to come over? I said, no. I said, here's the deal.
You want to come over?
No. I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm having to pay for this hotel room just like you are. Okay? It's a nice hotel. Can you take this down to the Motel 6?
Yeah.
And they said, what do you mean? I said, this is not what I'm paying for here. I said, and the guy got kind of mouthy.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and his girlfriend apparently was the one who was running the room, and she straight told him to shut up.
Oh, yeah. So her deposit's on the room.
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, let's just calm it down. I said, if you want to sing karaoke, go inside the room and just have at it, man. Close the door.
Yeah.
And
on the porch.
And I will admit, though, she got him tightened down. The girlfriend got him tightened down.
Well, the thing about it is a lot of people don't realize a lot of these resorts now, they put deposit holds on your card. They are quick to charge you for any incidentals or anything that happens in those rooms.
Well, and the thing about it was is you kind of go, well, everybody's got to have fun. But if you interfere with somebody else having fun, that's not really your right to do that, is it?
That's exactly right. Like you're talking to these other countries. I mean, if you got people running around, they're belligerent. For example, most of the time down here in Florida, they usually have alcohol restrictions, cutoffs with bars. Sometimes they cut them off at 12, sometimes cut them off at 2. And you used to always tell me something when I was younger, and I've seen this firsthand as I got older and was a teenager. Nothing good really happens after midnight. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
I remember my one buddy who was older than me in college, he used to always tell me, he goes, never go to the second bar. You're at a restaurant, you're at a bar, you're hanging out. Once it's time to leave, go home. Don't go to the next bar.
And there's something I learned about alcoholism and drinking a lot. It's an elevator that only goes down.
Correct. And the more of it goes down further. It just precipitates more.
Let's just stop for 1 second and mention that. I've never said that on the show before. It's an elevator that only goes down.
Yep.
It doesn't bring you up. It doesn't make you a better person. It just takes you down.
Yep.
And I've said it to you this way before. If your life is, a wreck and you start drinking, it doesn't get better.
No.
And I've seen it over and over again. In fact, I've got a friend of mine right now. She's in jail. I'm not going to mention any names. I mean, she's in serious trouble. And she didn't really do anything, in my opinion. But her kid was basically a drunk and dragged her into a ditch with him. And, so you got to learn something. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah. That's true.
When you remember that, we're basically living in this holographic world that we call Earth. It's not really a planet. It's more of a realm. We can go into detail on that. And, and you remember that the words of your mouth create the reality around you, and they change the fabric of space-time because they're scalar energy fields. And you start realizing when you hang out with the wrong people and you do the wrong things, you get the wrong results. And so you start realizing that the words of your – and we talked about this once before, me and Austin did on the show. If you want to say something about your life, always put a little comma there and say, and that's because that's the way I want it to be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because, comma, that's the way I want it to be. I'm always at the right place in the right time every single day because, comma, that's the way I want it to be. My health is absolutely great. My joints feel incredible because that's the way I want it to be. Every single word that you speak out of your mouth is a physical reality that you're going to create. And so ask yourself a question. What are your words doing to your life? As the Bible says, a man speaketh, so is his life. Okay? As a man thinketh in his heart. So we got to realize that, we've got to be careful. So that also includes hanging out with people that are going to be belligerent.
Yeah.
I've learned something about drugs and alcohol and all the rest. You always end up going places you shouldn't ought to go. You always end up doing things you shouldn't ought to do. You always end up associating with people you shouldn't ought to associate with. And it goes on and on and on. And the sad part about it is a lot of people don't realize this. They continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over. And my friend, who's in jail now, as they were hauling her away, she screams to her friend who was there, because I haven't seen her in a long, long time, "I should have listened to Ted. Ted warned me this kid's going to take me down. I can't believe I'm going to jail. I should have listened to Ted." Now, whether you want to listen to Ted or not, or listen to Austin or not, that's entirely up to you. But I'm telling you, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And the sad part about all of this stuff is, you know, how many times does it take to get it right? How many lower levels do you want to go on that elevator? You want to go down to the point where you go down so low, now you're living on the street under a bridge? People do that.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go to Ybor City over in Tampa, I always got people coming up saying, you know, the other day I was there and there's this black guy. He's in a wheelchair. I feel so sorry for him. He goes, "I need $8 tonight to be able to stay in the shelter." You know, and I looked at him. So I gave him some money and I thought, man, I'm sorry. I said, if you're still here when I come back after dinner, I said, I'll be more than happy to give you a little bit more money. And you think, well, do you really do that? Austin knows me.
Yeah.
I really do that. Because, and yeah, I used to go buy him food. But if he really wants a shelter, it's okay. The reality is that, you know, and then I had some leftovers after we left, and I'm walking down the street, and some guy was there who was homeless, and I gave him all my leftovers. Instead of bringing them home to heat up, I said, you know, this guy's going to be hungry tonight. So I gave those away. You say, well, one time I was there, it was this guy, a big black guy. Then it was Elijah. And Sharon, I used, you know, would say hi to him. Sharon always thought I was crazy for doing this, because I would just walk up to homeless people and start and carry on conversations.
I know you do.
You know I do. And so he's reading his Bible.
I will say, though, sometimes when I've been with you, some of them are actually pretty sharp.
They are.
They are. You talk to them, but they're not all twacked out on drugs. You actually have a conversation with them. They're pretty sharp.
They just made bad choices. Yeah. He was always sitting in front of this restaurant called the Acropolis in Ybor City.
Yeah.
Great restaurant, by the way. But don't go to Ybor at night. Not safe. Not safe. Go there in the afternoon. And he'd always be sitting out there, and I'd go out and ask him. I said, "What do you want to eat, Elijah?" And I was by, and then somebody stole his Bible, so I got him another Bible.
I remember that.
Then somebody stole another Bible, and I got him another Bible. And then suddenly they locked him up for Super Bowl because they didn't want homeless people on the streets of Ybor. And then they let him out for a few weeks, and then he disappeared. And I even called the police and said, "Hey, where did Elijah go?"
Well, he's always reading the Bible, wasn't he? Every time you're over there, he's always sitting there.
Yeah, well, his name's Elijah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who do you know? I mean, how do you know he's homeless? How do you know he's not some angel in disguise?
Oh, that's a valid point. Interesting point.
I'm just saying, you know, how do you know? I mean, why do we think we can treat people with disdain because they're not what we think they should be? A lot of people like to judge people because their sin is different than our sin.
Ooh. You're going to get an email on that one.
Did you hear me? A lot of people like to judge people because their sin is different than our sin. Hey, I got a news flash for everybody listening this morning. Ain't none of us perfect. You say, well, your grammar's bad. I don't care. I'm trying to make a point. Ain't none of us perfect. Okay, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And it's because of Jesus Christ that all of us have the ability to come back to God, period.
Except pedophiles. They get the wood chipper. You can't be touching kids. I don't agree. That's the only thing I think is that's an abomination.
Except for you know, Jesus said it in a different way.
Yeah.
He said it'd be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and you cast it to the deepest place. Jesus didn't like
everybody's
pedophiles
got
either.
Sin. Everybody's got sin, but it comes to pedos. Like, you touch my kids, like it's over for you. It's game over. It's done. There's no redemption for you at that point. And Jesus felt the same way. He never spoke in the New Testament. It starts when he was alive. He never spoke that strongly almost anything else at all.
And he said it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck.
He doesn't refer to any other sin with that reference at all. He doesn't say, because you drank wine or because you had this issue or because you're... He doesn't even reference that. He doesn't even reference that homosexuality.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No.
That's a strong...
Well, and here's why that happens. See, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan have been pedophiles since the Canaanite religions. So they were around. That's why he called them the Synagogue of Satan. That's why
they were so perverted with their involvement.
And that's what he told them. He says, you guys, your father's the devil. He straight called them out in the book of John. And the crazy part of it is, you know, a lot of that stuff in the Talmud, they say it's okay to have sex with
young children. Especially if they're not basically their religion.
We don't want to get off into that today, we did that yesterday.
That's why we get a dark show on that. But I had a conversation with my buddy about it the other day. You know, and I think if you understand, because we've talked about it before, if you understand Jesus' reference with a millstone topic, if you're a free diver, if you're a scuba diver, you understand that reference a little bit stronger. Because the amount of weight that's on your neck with a millstone, the length and the speed that you're going to descend under the water is going to be unbelievably painful. Because you're not going to be able to decompress. You're going to feel everything.
Your lungs are going to explode.
Yes.
Yeah.
your whole entire body is going to, you're going to be alive the entire time. You're not going to black out yet.
No, because you're going down so fast.
Right. And so if you've ever dove, you understand that reference. And that's one of those things where he does not mince words in that topic.
You know, he did. They did that on that one, TV show, that one movie that came out a few years ago, Midway. Great movie, by the way. Not for kids, though. They had that one sailor who and they tied a giant anchor on
him.
And they said, you're going to tell us who you are, what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, we're not. They straight threw him overboard.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't do that to the officer, but they did it to the enlisted guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's crazy. Oh, by the way, it is now saying that Canada just humiliated Trump and exposed arrogant America's decline.
No, okay. I don't know about that.
You know, humiliate the United States. Canada's rejection of Trump is far bigger than one man or one election. It marks a sobering turn point in the world's relationship with the United States of America. That's probably true. We've finally gotten tired of giving everybody everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Valid.
Donald Trump, the self-proclaimed titan of global deal-making and nationalist bravado, just got humiliated by the very country he loves to insult, Canada. With the election of Mark Carney as prime minister, the Carnucks delivered a roaring rebuke not only to the U.S. leader but to the hideous version of America he represents. Isn't that funny? We've subsidized Canada so much. Okay, represents unstable and dangerously delusional. Let's be honest, this wasn't just a Canadian election. It was a referendum on Trumpism and by the extension of the United States. Canadians, America's closest and most loyal ally, have had enough of the trade wars. That's because we've subsidized them for the last 100 years. Enough of being branded the 51st state. Enough of being treated like a doormat for Trump's latest tantrum. What happened at the ballot box was a less a liberal party recovered and a more national, international gut punch to the discredited figurehead. I can't believe they're slamming Trump this hard in this article. Trump triggered the backlash himself. He kicked off the pointless trade war against Canada, wanting tariffs on steel, aluminum, and dairy, you know, with all the subtlety of a barroom brawl. I guess he should have been on a carnival ship. He smeared a peaceful Democratic neighbor as a weak and subordinate, then expected diplomatic loyalty in return. He misread Canada completely, mistaking kindness for submission and partnership for dependency. Canadians responded the only way a proud sovereign nation could do by using their votes to send a message so loud it echoed across the border. Former bank, here we go, of England, Governor Carney, another Rothschild boy, now a measured globally respected politician, rode the backlash all the way to power. He inherited the Liberal Party, floundering after Justin Trudeau, the unbelievable, probably illegitimate child of Castro, missteps down more than 25 points, transformed into a platform of national defiance. He stood up to Trump's bullying and drew a line in the sand. Now, here's the thing. Canada, I love Canadians, and we've got a lot of good Canadian customers. And I have no interest in saying bad things about Canada.
No,
I don't. I love Canada.
A lot of people up there.
You know, Banff up there, I've been up there before. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Not Trudeau.
I don't care for him. He's a communist. But the reality is that, you know, if we're setting this up from a standpoint that we have a problem with Canada because of tariffs or because of import duties or whatever, then gradually, because they're our neighbor, Austin, ease it into it and change it. But don't be slamming Canada and tell them they need to be the 51st state and we're going to annex Canada. I mean, who does stuff like that? And so I got to agree with him on that. The Canadians are a proud people. They're a great people. And we've got a lot of good friends in Canada. And Trump shouldn't have done all that because it's coming in blowing back. And now it pushed another liberal into the office.
And let's be real. And I'm not trying to be cocky or anything. Canada knows that. I mean, if there was a conflict with the United States,
there's no conflict.
There's no conflict. Right. So it's like having your neighbor that you're really cool with that, you know, they're like, you know, 5'9" and you're 7 foot tall and 400 pounds and you're going over there picking on them.
No,
you're seven foot tall.
And Canada knows if somebody tried to invade Canada or attack Canada, the United States would intervene.
Absolutely. So playing this back and forth, it's no good on here.
Well, you know, I'm calling people names. I learned a long time ago about bullies. You know, bullies are just bullies. And, you know, and calling people names and being belligerent and mean to people, it really doesn't get any kudos with me whatsoever. I don't like any of that stuff.
No. Now, this is an interesting article that came out. This is switching to health topics. It says 5 common nutrient deficiencies in modern individuals today. And this is getting worse, they're now saying. And it's these top 5 that are pretty much consistent across the board when they have blood levels and different things that they're being tested and checked on. They said blood tests the quickest way to determine where the body lacks certain nutrients. They said more and more people are showing up with these. It said vitamin D3, the number one deficient nutrient across
and nobody,
the board.
Very rarely the doctors ever test for it. Even with cancer patients, they don't test for it.
Sometimes. Always make sure you're getting tested.
I've got a friend of mine who's got cancer right now, and I've asked him repeatedly, what are your D3 levels? They don't test it.
The scientific reports admit it's the number one deficient nutrient.
And without vitamin D3, the macrophages, the killer cells that go in and kill cancer cells, cannot even turn on. Because these killer cells, these macrophages, unless they get turned on, they're going to run around eating everything, killing everything. Because they'll focus on something, but without D3, they can't do what they need to do. The on switch won't work without D3.
Listen, this is a peer-reviewed journal. A study published in Scientific Reports in 2022 found that among a group of military veterans in the United States, supplementing with vitamin D3 led to a 20% reduction in COVID infections and a 33% decrease in mortality within 30-day post-infection. D3, I mean, I do a whole show on D3. We don't have time for that. We're burning the clock down with all these topics. But D3 is so important, and it's the number one. Get it tested. The next one here they said is zinc. Zinc deficiency is a number one that a lot of people are really deficient in.
Really controls libido in many cases.
Oh, yeah.
And also controls sperm quality.
And it also, I didn't know this until you told me, it really helps out with gray hair. Starts reducing gray hair.
I don't color my hair.
You don't color, I'm saying. And I've talked to a lot of guys that basically have started that on
zinc and B-complex.
B-complex and prostate, and their hair actually starts getting color back to it. They're young. I know guys in their 30s.
No gray hair.
They're getting gray hair now. It says review research published in Frontier Nutrition indicates that adults who consume higher dose of dietary zinc experience lower risk of depression, type 2 diabetes, and digestive tract cancers. The use of zinc supplements in adults is associated with improved antioxidant capacity, enhanced sperm quality, and reduced concentration in inflammatory markers. This is another big one. Remember, inflammation is the base to almost every disease. Once inflammation starts, it starts to escalate in some cases.
Now look at this. For children, zinc supplementation can reduce the incidence of diarrhea and pneumonia, address symptoms of zinc deficiency, and promote growth.
Zinc's huge for growth.
That's why we have zinc in our chewable vitamins for kids.
Yep, the children's chewable along with the omega-3 fats, that's a huge, huge kit.
Now, vitamin C, big deficiency.
Oh, yeah. This one, everybody knows as far as deficiency. Vitamin C right here says for individuals dealing with immune-related issues, undergoing cancer treatment, or currently experiencing a cold, it's recommended daily vitamin C intake increases from 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams. I think that's even low in my opinion. We've talked about it before. The way we've dosed the vitamin C with antioxidants are 600 mg per capsule, two capsules 2 to 3 times a day. That ends up coming out to about 3,600 milligrams of vitamin C. I think that's a really good healthy dose that I've seen great results from with customers on there.
Well, most people are so deficient in vitamin C. By the way, this is another thing that causes wrinkles.
Yes.
Because without collagen will not hold together in your body. It's the glue without vitamin C.
And that's why I tell everybody, if you're taking the collagen formula, have the peptide collagens that work really well. We got more coming in, by the way, but dealing with inventory supply on that.
You guys really like our collagen product.
Well, it works. Everybody keeps calling me up, ordering more cans.
My joints feel great.
That last batch, we did a smaller batch on it, and everybody bought it out, so we've got more coming in now. And so I thank you for the patience.
Thanks for the support, too.
But, I mean, once you start taking that stuff and your joints start feeling better, your skin starts getting better, you start having more energy.
Now some of you guys ordered like 6, 8, 10 cans of that at one time, and quite frankly, because we're having a shortage on it as far as getting it in, we've gone ahead and filled part of your order.
Yes.
And we'll have the rest of it filled by next week.
I want everybody to be able to get it. So a lot of the orders that had, you know, huge amounts of it and they had other products, we filled everything. We throw one or two cans in there, and we'll have the next batch out next week.
You know, that's one of those products like Purple Sticks were.
Yeah.
I stockpiled that when we started running out of it years ago. And I would do the same thing with that collagen product.
Well, the problem is it's all grass-fed bovine. And so I've had very picky raws that I get it from, and that's made it a little bit more difficult on some of it. And so, again, thank you for the support and patience on that.
Omega-3.
Number four, omega-3s.
Oh, my gosh.
You already know this.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about this all the time. Inflammation, acne, eyesight, energy.
I take 3 of our fish oil capsules every day.
Same thing when it comes down to cardiovascular health. Omega-3 is absolutely crucial. And we can talk about that all day. Well, the last one is vitamin A, which is a fat-soluble vitamin. And that's in our ultimate multiple formula.
Yeah, I don't take any extra of that.
Our ultimate multiple's got enough in there. That's why we dosed it properly, because you don't want to get too much of it. But surprisingly enough, a lot of people are deficient in vitamin A. It goes here in this article here. And so I wanted to cover that topic.
No, we don't carry any supplement. We don't have to.
The vitamin A that we have in the ultimate multiple, that's
more
why it's the ultimate multiple formula. Okay. And then kind of ties back into what I was talking about, says how chronic inflammation accelerates aging and what you can do about it. Because a lot of these deficiencies turn into inflammation markers in the body. And one of the reasons why inflammation, they say here, is a slow burning fire. I mean, it's not something that just gets you one day, all of a sudden I got inflammation. It's something that builds up over time, and inflammation gets worse and worse and worse. It says persistent inflammation state is a subtler and long-term silently wearing down cells, tissues, and organs over time. And so again, that's one of the reasons why I like the GHI Cleanse formula is such a good product to reduce inflammation in the body, so you can really, really, really get key factors under control and get those markers down so you can reduce aging on it. So I want to cover all that in Austin's health topic for today.
By the way, Trump has complained to Bezos before Amazon said it scrapped the idea to display a tariff cost.
Oh, yes.
The White House slammed Amazon for reportedly planning to display the cost of President Donald's tariffs on the total price of
sales
products
tax
on its site. This is a hostile and political act by Amazon. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt said at a brief press briefing. Amazon later called the plan to show tariff surcharge was never approved and is not going to happen. Trump personally called Bezos on Tuesday morning to express his displeasure about the initial report that spurred the heated response from the White House. President Donald Trump personally called Amazon, Bezos, on Tuesday to complain about the report. Imagine that. You're sitting at the house and the phone rings. It's President Trump.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, bud, what's up? I don't want you to do this.
You saw the receipts got posted online. Did you see them? Mm-hmm. They said people got the Amazon receipts and it had sales tax, state sales tax, additional sales tax, and it was the tariff that's added on there. I mean, there's certain products now, and I've already been notified by certain companies, stuff that's coming in from China right now, it's getting hit with tariffs on it. Now, a lot of it's not stuff that's really going to affect you a ton, but it's coming on some of these items. And so, again, this is how it's going to feel with some of this stuff, but again, best way to do is just handle it accordingly. This will end soon.
By the way, something happened in Netherlands Museum. A child damaged a $56 million painting. A child.
What do you
do? A wild child. Dutch curators are considering the next steps after a child damaged a $56 million painting by the American artist Mark Rotho while visiting a museum in Rotterdam. The work by Rotho, Gray, Orange, and Maroon, which I think is an unbelievable abomination, it's ridiculous, has suffered damage and a number of visible scratches on the unvarnished paint layer. It happened because a child in an unsupervised moment touched the part of the work. The painting from 1960 is being displayed at the museum's depot on the main building goes under reservations. Rotho's abstract paintings are known for their floating. It's horrible is what it is. The painting's horrible. It's one of those things that the communists did to try to make us think something was pretty and it's not.
Oh, the real ugly abstract stuff.
Because, you know, to me, it's good, whatever. Now, here's the reason. Here's the reason I'm saying. First of all, number one, this painting should never have been in a place where somebody could touch it if it's worth $56 million.
It should have plexiglass around it.
It should have plexiglass around it or had stanchions around it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have to admit now, when you get these kids over in Europe, they just run wild. The parents are real funny about it in Europe. They don't really hold them down or anything. They just run wild. You know, at least in the United States, when they're here at Disney, they put them on leashes.
You got roving child bandits over in Europe in some spots.
But no, they have leashes at Disney. You see the from Europe. They hook them in the back of it. They hook them in the belt, and they have leashes on them, you know, these Europeans. Because the child just run nuts over there. Now, I got to tell you a story.
Oh, boy.
I'm down in the Bahamas one day. We're on a cruise ship. This is before the cruise ship from H.E. Double Sticks. And, you know, we were doing these cruises. And we stopped thinking it was in St. Thomas. I think you were with us.
Yeah.
You were with us.
Yeah.
There's like this little art stuff, these little figurines, right? And there's nobody. You just reach up and touch them, and there's nothing you can do. I couldn't see the price on it. So I picked it up. I looked under the bottom to see the price, and the lady screams at me. Screams. I'm not going to scream because I'm going to blow my mic out. Don't touch that. And I jumped, and it got chipped.
Yeah.
Remember that? And I looked at her, and I said, that's on you. I said, why do you think you walk up to me and start screaming
behind me?
And last year when I was in Europe, we were in this really fancy store. I think it was a Louis Vuitton or something, right? And there was a purse there. It was interesting with the purse. And I touched it. Oh, my gosh. I thought the alarms were going to go off. I don't have time ever told you this. I mean, the lady came over screaming at me. It was like a $40,000 purse.
Oh my God. Who buys touching a $40,000?
I didn't know it was $40,000. Who Who would buy a $40,000? And it was a collector's piece for 40 grand.
You're going to wear it out? $40,000?
And it was some kind of reptile skin. It was really cool.
I do like reptile skin. I got boots on right now.
Oh, yeah. The only good python is a dead python. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, I told her, I said, you got it sitting out here on the shelf, you know, right here. I said,
that should be locked up.
If it's a $40,000 purse, put it behind plexiglass.
Yeah.
This is crazy. You can't touch that without gloves. I'm like, how would a woman possibly carry it then? And, oh, it's only for their personal display.
Some people got way too much money, bro. Golly.
And I'm like, okay.
You got to wear it with gloves.
No. She came around and could go with gloves.
$40,000.
No, but it was pretty.
You would pick that purse to pick up, though.
I didn't know it was $40,000. I have a price tag on it.
This one looks cool.
I like this one. And I thought to myself, this is crazy.
It's probably Python or something.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't damage it or anything.
No. If it got damaged, you pick it up. Golly. I mean, what are you selling it for?
How are you going to carry that if you're a woman? And, ladies, I'm sorry, but I got to just say this. I don't understand any of this stuff. I mean, women go out and get... They get their hair highlighted. Somebody told me the other day they got their hair highlighted. It was $4,000.
They probably had extensions.
They got extensions too. But I mean,
I don't know.
Whoa. I mean, what the heck are we talking about? Are you a trust fund baby or what? I mean, how in the world can you go out and just drop $4,000 on hair? And I stop and I look at it and I just shake my head. But then, of course, a lot of guys will go out and buy a fancy car. Here's the difference. There's my justification on a fancy car. It has residual value.
Well, especially if you hack the market right. And certain vehicles hold value. Some vehicles do not hold value. Yeah. So the biggest thing is buying something that you know is going to retain at least a strong portion of the value. Now something's going to depreciate
20-30%. I had a friend who had a Tesla. They told me the other day if they plug it into a 110 outlet to charge it, it's like every hour of charging gives them like 3 miles.
Oh, yeah. If you plug in a regular outlet, it's useless.
No, so that means if you plug it up for 24 hours, you get to go 75 miles a day.
I had a buddy of mine that brought one down one time to visit. And he borrowed it from his buddy. I don't have a charging station in my shop. He hasn't plugged in. He comes out like 3 or 4 hours later. I got to check it. He goes, man, this thing's got like 15 miles added onto it. I'm like, bro, it's been plugging half the night. My meter's just spinning right now. It's drawing power. He goes, well, there's a charging station in Lakeland. It's like 11 miles from here. I said, okay.
He couldn't make it, could he?
He leaves. About 15 minutes later, he pulls back in my driveway. I'm still out there. I said, what are you doing? How'd you charge that fast? I didn't. I'm out of power. I couldn't make it. I got to go back and plug in.
You've got a friend of yours who's put a dog on generator now as a mobile charging station.
Now, he's got a cool setup, and he's got a McLaren. I mean, come on.
He has a McLaren?
He's got a McLaren. Yeah, he's got the dog on solar panels.
He owns a tow company, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, that's my other buddy. Okay. I'm talking one of our listeners.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's got the solar panels with a generator backup with a whole system so he can charge the Tesla up without anything completely off the grid, which is pretty slick.
That is slick.
But he's also got a McLaren, so I can't give him... You know what I mean?
Everybody's got a McLaren. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
I don't have a McLaren.
As long as you keep out of the shop.
If you guys want to find out what I want for my birthday, give me a McLaren. I'd like that.
You know what we don't want any more of? The bird flu. These guys, I saw an article here earlier. This is nuts. The mainstream media in the last 2 days has gone completely and totally out of control. Fox investigates the fight against the bird flu. Experts issue terrifying warning to America.
Here we go.
Prepare for pandemic now. This article came out on Daily Mail. Listen to this.
Unbelievable.
The bird flu case spirals.
Is fear porn.
Prepare for the pandemic now as new virus spreads to all 50 states. Now, I'm going to give you guys a heads up on this. I've told you for the last year, they're trying to work on another pandemic because they got to take the leverage and the view off the bankers and what they're doing with the monetary system right now. They've got to have a distraction. They need a new
boogeyman. And they got to discredit Kennedy.
Yes.
With his vaccines.
Oh, yeah, because remember, Kennedy already came out now. I showed you guys yesterday the article. He came out now and basically said he's trying to pull the COVID shot
off the shot schedule.
Oh, no. Pfizer said you're not allowed to do that.
That's a sacred cow.
That's a sacred cow. That makes us billions of dollars a year. You can't do that. So they're going to come in and try to stunt. And so, again, keep your immune system strong, my friends. D3, vitamin C, and zinc, the three staples we have on the main kit on the website. Always keep that on hand. I mean, I keep them in my cupboard all the time. Most of the time I try to take them on a regular basis. But even if I miss, you start getting run down, you got them on hand to take them. So be sure to check that out. And I'll have the D3 on sale later on Team Health Masters for you guys to jump on that.
By the way, young workers who were not forced to cut hedges and dig ditches and repair irrigation systems by their dad, who is a German who's unbelievably strict on them, have decided to quit because of burnout, pay, and concerns are driving the exodus of young workers who don't want to work more than like 20 hours
a week. Oh, yeah. I've heard that now. Well, I've got to work more than 15 to 20 hours a week. I don't want this position.
No. I should have covered this story earlier. But this is funny. Hey, I got to pray for you guys, and I love you so much. Remember, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. That's for my German listeners and for you guys. Two fundamental principles of life, prayer and work. Always pray like it's up to God, work like it's up to you. I love you guys. And we'll see you tomorrow.